Jesus won. The devil lost. It's already done. That's the reality. That's truth. Now, how we live out that reality in our daily experience, again, depends to no small degree on our understanding of our spiritual situation. So to develop this important passage, I want to give you three ideas to hang the passage on. And the first one is this. Beware of religious phonies. Beware of religious phonies. To really fully embrace this abundant life that Jesus promised, to live victoriously, to live out in our daily experience the victory, the overcoming that is ours. Beware of religious phonies. It says in verse 1, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Even then, many false prophets. It says, test them. Test them. Not everything that sounds clever is true. Not every quip that is easy to say is a reflection of God's truth. Not every person who speaks about God is godly. Not every person who says the name of Christ is a Christian. Test the spirits. Do they preach sound doctrine about Christ? In verse 2, it says that Jesus Christ, this sound doctrine is Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The same John who wrote 1 John here wrote the Gospel of John. Sound doctrine. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing has been made that was made. The Word became flesh. The Jesus of sound doctrine is the Jesus who was with the Father in the beginning, who was the agent of creation. And He became flesh and He walked among us. He was not just a philosopher. He was not just a religious teacher. That is not the Jesus of sound doctrine. Test the spirits. If they don't have the right Jesus, it is not of God. In verse 5, it says, they are of the world and the world listens. Beware of those who make more of the power of religion to control your destiny than of devotion to Christ Himself. Beware of people who preach religion as something that you can use to control your destiny versus piquing your and leading your devotion to Christ. Beware of people who market spirituality as a self-improvement strategy or a get-rich scheme rather than Christ Himself. See, a shepherd of Christ leads people to Christ. A shepherd of Christ keeps leading the sheep back to Christ. Love, brothers and sisters, we talk about it a lot here. And it's paramount in our dealings with one another and with people who don't know Christ. One of the tenets on the back of our bulletin, of our ministry, our purpose statement, is that we want to reach out to others with the attitude that we need Jesus as much as anybody else. We want to authentically love one another. We want to authentically love those who come into our midst. We want to authentically love people on our jobs. We want to authentically love people in our neighborhoods. We talk a lot about how the certifying quality of a genuine believer, if it is not love, it's nothing. 1 Corinthians tells us this. So we want to be all about love, but don't ever think that love is enough to prevent us from being persecuted. We live in a time when that phrase in verse 3 where it says Jesus, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. We live in a time when that phrase is considered an intolerant attitude. We live in a time where if you say Jesus is the only way, you are being narrow and exclusive. And you will be thought of as a religious bigot because you're excluding everybody else by saying that Jesus Christ, whoever does not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, is not of God. We can say that in here, right? But you say that on your job or you say that on a street corner somewhere. And you will attract ridicule like flies are attracted to any number of things. But that is the truth. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. I think it's safe to say that the evil one has thoroughly polluted the atmosphere of the world with that thought that if you say that too loudly, you are somehow being unloving. But you see, the gospel is inclusive in its exclusivity. It is inclusive in its exclusivity. Because God so loved the world, all of it, from pole to pole, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Not just some of the world, not just America. God is not an American. He is not an American. Sometimes we, in our minds, think of him as an American. We see him in a suit or in his Jesus clothes, but they're red, white, and blue. Or he's wearing an American flag. He is the God of all of the earth, of every person. And when Jesus came, he died for every man, woman, and child on the planet. God so loved the world. That's the inclusiveness. But the exclusivity is, the exclusiveness is that he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Beware of religious phonies. Everything that sounds good is not good. They're not leading us to Christ. Be suspect of it. Secondly, your security is an inside job. Your security is an inside job. It says, the one who is in you. And I just think that is an astonishing truth. He is in you in verse 4. The one who is in you. He lives in you. Nothing communicates to me God's love for me, his commitment to me, his faithfulness, the fact that he will never leave me or forsake me. Nothing communicates that more powerfully to me than the fact that he would want to live inside of me. You know, we've had roommates who wanted to live with us for a term, semester, the lease period. But he said, I want to live inside of you, and I'm going to live inside of you forever. So the one who is in you is an amazing, astonishing truth of the faith, that God would place his spirit, his living presence by his spirit in us. If you want a job done right, do it yourself, the Lord says. You know, he went all out. I guess we could say he went all in for us to protect his inheritance, you and me. Not some of it, all of it. Not a few of us, but all of us. He came to live inside of each believer. Each believer is indwelt by the living Spirit of God. The evil one had the tomb sealed in order to prevent the resurrection of Christ. That didn't work out too good. Jesus said, let me show you how it's done. I'm going to seal every one of my children, everyone who places his or her faith in me, I'm going to seal them with my Holy Spirit. And that is the condition we live in every day, brothers and sisters. It says in Colossians 1, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you know, for me to enjoy this truth, that's the highest aspiration that I have spiritually, is to enjoy the truth that Christ is in me. To celebrate that, to relish it. Because he lives inside of us, I wrote this in my journal, prayer is neither a letter to God, nor a phone call, nor FaceTime. It's not contact through any other medium. It's direct and it's immediate real-time communication with the living God. He spoke to Moses face-to-face as with a friend. And that was fantastic. We read that and say, Lord, I want that kind of a relationship where you would speak to me face-to-face. But we have it even better. He indwells us. He speaks to us spirit to spirit. No cloud has to descend. We don't have to climb any mountain. The time has now come when, as Jesus put it, we worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We ourselves are the temple of the living God, and he has access to our feelings. He has access to all of our emotions, our feelings. He has access to our senses, our physical senses. He has access to all of our thoughts, our spirit, our soul. All of those can be places of fellowship with him, where we can meet him and where he can meet us, and where we can commune with words or without words. It is total sharing of life that we have with him. So I just say praises to you, Lord, for the energy of your life within me, coursing in and through my being, touching me gently, and making the ordinary more vivid every day. I was telling the Lord the other day how grateful I am that he took my morning worship walk that started out, as I described it, as flat as a month-old open can of Coke. And I'm amazed by how we can take the coldness or the dullness or the flatness and bring back the fizz. Not that morning fizz determines the quality of our time with the Lord, but it sure makes it a lot more fun when he does it. Thank you, Lord, that you are in us. And then the one inside you, number three, the one inside you is simply greater. Verse 4 says, the one who is in you is greater. Simply stated, he's greater than the one who is in the world. Psalm 145:3 says, his greatness is unsearchable. There are no boundaries to his greatness, the message says. How much greater? Much greater, infinitely greater. Greater in what areas, Pastor? Greater in power to sustain our faith than the evil one is in trying to destroy it. He's greater in being able to sustain our faith than the evil one is in trying to destroy it. You know, yeah, we're going to take some hits. I've taken some. You've taken some. But the one who is greater always brings us back. Amen? He always brings us back. How did I get back here? Because greater is the one who is in you to sustain your faith than the evil one is to destroy it. I have come to believe in my own journey that resiliency is a more important objective than perfection. Because for certain, we're going to get knocked down. And so my goal is to be resilient, not to be perfect. Thank you, Lord, for the way you reassure each one of us that your mindfulness of us is as varied as our personalities and experiences. The way you think about each one of us is not the same. There is no template. The way you think about Saray and the way you craft things in her life, the way you handle Saray is very different than the way you handle Donna. The way you handle Donna is very different than the way you handle Laverne. The way you handle Michael is very different than the way you handle Don. Because you are personally invested in each one of us and greater in power to sustain our faith through your unique interaction with each one of us. You're greater in power to shape our perspective. Sometimes we just lose sight of stuff. We forget. We're not too bright sometimes. We forget. We lose sight. We get distracted. We get discouraged. We get deceived by the evil one. Greater is he who is in you to give you perspective than the evil one is to keep you distracted. On spending time with the Lord, for example, the Lord is my dwelling place. He's not center stage, which means that there's no pressure to perform in his presence. This is what I mean by perspective. The Lord is able to, when we think about spending time with him, he's able to broaden our perspective and show us what that means in a different way than we've thought of, to move it from paying our God tax to an enjoyable time with the living God. Perspective, broadening it. The Lord is my dwelling place, not center stage. There's no pressure to perform in his presence or to impress him in any way. He's home for my spirit, a resting place and a refuge. On what I pray for you, the perspective that he's helped me to have on praying for you, I wrote, my prayer is not that God would grant our members less than what they're asking of him. You're asking him for stuff. Pastor, pray that this would happen. Pray that that would happen. We ask one another, pray for me that this would happen and that that would happen, or that this wouldn't happen, or that that would stop happening. Amen? My prayer is not that God would grant our members less than what they're asking of him, not less, but more, more. And the more is him. The more is him. There's nothing wrong with wanting our lives to be better in certain areas than they are. There's nothing wrong with asking God to take us there. But may God give us grace to see and remember that the greatest blessing is above anything we could ask or imagine. That blessing is him. It's him whether he delivers what we want or not. And he is ours right now. He will be ours tomorrow. And he will be ours forevermore. And may more of him be our highest hope and our prayer. Yes, if we seek our relationship with the Lord first, the other things will be added as well, but we won't be holding our breath waiting for those other things. Because once we set our eyes on him, the other things become secondary. And we can live contentedly without them. Funny how that works. Now, God's not stingy. On the contrary, he's a God of generous abundance. But our hearts will not be fixated on our requests as the blessings. We will see that the greater blessing is the one who provides us with all things to enjoy and not the things he provides. And when this is our perspective, when this is our conviction, we truly become invincible in Christ. Now we need help getting to this place. Because we're not in our spiritual body. We need help getting to this place, and we need reminding in it. It's an objective that we can't get to on our own, but that's where our faith is rightly placed, where our prayers are rightly placed, where our trust is rightly placed, and our support for one another is rightly placed, because this is the right objective, and we can be confident the Lord will support us in its pursuit. So when we think about the Lord being greater, he's greater in being able to give us a broader perspective than the evil one is to keep us distracted. He's greater in power to reach the lost, finally. Now let go of the pressure to make it happen. Let go of the pressure to make it happen and remember that he knows what you're trying to do. And he can do it better. There are people we would like to see come to the kingdom, come into the kingdom of God. There are people who are in the kingdom of God that we'd like to see more vibrant and more active and more excited about their spiritual journey. Let go of the pressure to make it happen and remember that he can do it better. He's not only greater in power, but in every other measurable and conceivable way. He's greater in creativity, greater in magnificence, greater in fascination, greater in satisfaction, greater in all these ways. Greater is the one who's in you than he who's in the world. And I want to end by answering a question that was asked of someone. Dear Pastor Dan, forgive me if this is silly, but why didn't God just kill the devil? Problem solved. Why didn't God just kill the devil? I'm having a hard time resolving there being this war between God and Satan that God can't seem to win. This was a letter that I received from someone or a question that I received from someone, and here's my answer. I said, dear sister, your question is not at all silly. In fact, it's a question that has been debated for centuries by theologians. The essence of your question is, why does God allow evil to exist? And the short answer is, we really can't answer that completely satisfactorily because of the limitations of our human perspective. When we see the death and the misery resulting from natural disasters and then from the evil perpetrated by mankind against one another, it does cause us to wonder. But there are things the scripture makes very clear. One, the Bible makes it clear that Satan and God are not equal powers opposed to each other. In Revelation 12:12, we read that the devil himself knows his time is short. It's not that God cannot win the battle. It's not that God cannot win the battle. More accurately, he's chosen not to end it yet. It may help to think of the evil one's kingdom as a really, really tiny country without an air force or a navy and just an infantry of poorly armed soldiers. certainly capable of creating havoc, but no serious threat to a superpower. And even that comparison is not a very good one, for Satan is infinitely weaker than God and incapable of thwarting God's eternal purposes. The scripture also instructs that God causes all things to work together for good in the end. Consider the crucifixion of Christ. Of all the murders ever committed, what could possibly be worse than a mob brutally murdering the very Son of God? It was the darkest chapter in human history. And yet, in the end, it was the most glorious. God took the worst event and turned it ultimately into the best. Additionally, perhaps the Lord allows the devil to continue for the same reason he did not fully destroy all the enemies of the nation of Israel when they went into the promised land. The threat of enemy invasion, and sometimes the invasions themselves, kept the people aware of their need for God. Certainly, Satan's attempt to destroy lives has led many a person so ravaged to Christ. Consider Mary Magdalene, and certainly his ploys in our lives, even as Christians, keep us seeking the Lord for protection and provision. I know this is a partial answer, and some mystery will remain until we get to heaven. But the evil one will definitely get his just due in the end, according to Revelation 20:10. And I hope this was helpful to you, and I hope it was helpful to you. And as I close, I just want to say, brothers and sisters, don't be worried, but be concerned. Don't fret, be prayerful. Be alert. Our adversary, the evil one, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. May God give us grace to not just traipse through our day, not being aware of his scheme. Because for certain, one thing that bothers him more than anything is that he has lost you. He has lost those who have come to Christ forever. He's lost the battle. He has lost his attempt to completely annihilate what God has created. And all he wants to do now is damage control. And the way that he wants to control that damage is by making you less vibrant, less vital, less excited, less joyful in your walk with the Savior. Because if he can stem the tide, if he can stunt, if he can stifle your zeal, your excitement, your confidence in the love that God has for you, if he can siphon that and make you think less of yourself than God thinks of you, if he can get you there, then now what he has is an disarmed believer who is walking around with all this power but is not in a state of mind to be able to use it because we've been deceived. So keep sharp. Keep your mind focused on the things that God has said are true about you. Remember that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I'm done. Yeah.